All right, there we go. We're on. All right, can we open up in a word of prayer? Let's pray.
No, I said we put you in the middle.
Just swivel around. Yeah. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this night. We know many have different commitments, sports, music, and even just sickness that's going around. And so we just do commit everyone to you. And we pray that for physical health, that for those who are sick, just would recover quickly. We trust their health into your care, oh Lord, knowing you're in control. But also just spiritually, that you would sustain them this week and uphold them. As we meet again, even this coming Sunday. So bless our time now in your word as we look at dating and biblical relationships. Give us wisdom from your word, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are jumping into dating tonight, and we're really just going to dive right into it. But God has made us to be very relational people because God himself is relational. A bunch of scripture talks about covenant relationship. So relationship, just at a very basic level, is connection. Relationship is connection. So God connects with his people. Believers connect together. The church connects with the world by preaching the gospel. Right? Life is all about relationship. Now the question for tonight really is what are biblical relationships really all about? And when it comes to like, hey, I'm interested in another person, right? Do we date them? There's something called courting. Do we court them? What do I look for in another person? How do I have a relationship with another person? So these are all really important and good questions that I want to talk about tonight from Scripture. So tonight, we're going to be looking at six principles of biblical relationship. That's what our outline is, six principles of biblical relationship. And then at the end, if we have time, I'd like to leave time for questions as well, that we can just have openly together. But if we don't have time, we can just dive into our discipleship groups and do that. Let's look at the first principle together. Number one, it's not about dating, but marriage. So here's where I already might step on a few toes with this one. You should not just date to date. Now, don't get me wrong, dating is fun, and a relationship ultimately should begin with a friendship. You should date and marry your best friend, and I did, for sure, and I'm thankful for that. But getting to know someone beyond friendship is a really amazing thing, but if you date too soon or too much, you could be losing the actual point of dating altogether. Now, whenever the Bible talks about a romantic relationship, okay? It's always in the context of a marriage. This might be a surprise to people in our culture, but there's actually a purpose in dating, okay, as believers. Now think about it. Why would you decide, like, to go out with someone? Like, what's the purpose of that? Is it to be alone with someone of the opposite gender? Is it to have a physical relationship with that person? Is it, like, to get to know that person better? In Scripture, we only really see those things in marriage. Now, if you're just dating to date, it could lead to some unenjoyable, unfulfilling things. But on the other hand, if you're dating someone to pursue marriage, there is a sense of purpose and aim with that. You're aiming towards something that is pleasing the Lord. Now, if you want to read passages that talk about what that type of relationship is, Genesis 2, I think I gave them to you. Genesis 2, Ephesians 5, 1 Peter 3. So those are key verses on what marriage is and what a dating relationship would eventually lead to. Are you with me on that? Now, what we glean from those passages, though, is that marriage is God's lifelong promise for a man and woman to be together as a picture of God's love. Okay? It's a man and woman together as a picture of God's love. It's a lifelong promise. So together, a man and woman can honor God better together than they could apart. And there's a lot that a dating couple can work toward and aim toward in their relationship to prepare for a marriage. But part of dating is that it might not always lead to marriage, obviously, and that's okay, because that's what dating is for. Breaking up is like not against the law, like it's okay. But as believers, we can do that with kindness and grace whenever and in person whenever possible. I would say don't try to break up with somebody over social media or texting or on the phone if possible, okay? There was a guy who broke up with his high school girlfriend making an Excel chart to illustrate the downward trend of their relationship. So, yeah. So remember that, right? A biblical relationship starts with a biblical friendship. That's what it's founded on. And a friendship overflows, friendship can overflow into a relationship that aims towards marriage, okay? But that gives us some relief with number two. It's not about guessing, but trusting. It's not about guessing, but trusting. Okay, so because dating has a purpose and an aim, we don't have to like wander around dating this person or that person to try and like figure things out. We can trust that the Lord will provide the right person at the right time for the right purpose. Now, we can talk with our friends a lot about wondering if he or she likes me. I remember in college, guys would come to me and say, "Dude, read this message from this girl." You know, and they were just so excited. And they're like, "What should I say back?" And I just remember spending hours in the dorm room like, "What are we going to say to this girl?" You know. But what I... No, well, apparently, those guys did at the Christian college. Now, I understand, right, that can be really fun, but what I don't remember us doing is, like, praying about it, which seems like a really simple thing, but just praying about, hey, is this the relationship you would have for me? So when we pray... Right, praying is trusting. It's demonstrating that you trust in the Lord when you commit something like a relationship to prayer. We trust in Him with our life, with our schooling, with our work, and with our relationships. It shows that you worship Him, you rely on Him, and that He's in control of the situation. Now, when we pray, though, it's important to remember this too. When we pray, we don't pray necessarily for outcomes. Because just because you pray for something doesn't mean you're necessarily going to get it if it's not in God's will. Instead, Jesus tells us to pray in God's will. You want what's done in your life to be what God wants for your life. So look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says this. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Okay, so when you pray, right, we're declaring that you trust in God to help you live the way that God wants you to live. Now, as you do that, you can also ask Him specifically if that relationship is in His will to guide and direct that relationship. Being in His will means praying in thanks for everything. So whether you're single, whether you're dating, whether you're engaged, whether you're married, praying in thanks no matter what situation you're in, okay? Now, there's another way we can trust as well instead of guessing in a dating relationship. Now, I might get some pushback on this too, but... And pursuing a relationship, it should be ultimately under the authority, especially in this season of your life, under the authority of your mom and dad, under the authority of your parents. Because remember that as long as you're under the authority of your parents, Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So that is a command. That's not like an option, okay? If you are under your parents' authority, right, we are to obey. That is a command from God. It's not optional. So to trust God in your relationship means also to obey your parents. So this means, just practically, right, if your parents tell you to wait until you're 18 to date, then you don't go dating someone behind their back, right? We follow their instruction. This means that before you pursue a relationship, you really need to touch base with mom and dad and see what their desires are for you in this type of relationship. Now, if we keep going in Ephesians 6, 2 through 3, and I actually go ahead and turn there to Ephesians 2. I'm sorry, Ephesians 6, verse 2. Sorry about that. Ephesians 6, verse 2. It goes beyond obeying mom and dad to something even more. It says this: Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So it's actually like a blessing to you to obey your parents. I know it doesn't always feel like that, but it is, right? It's a promise and a blessing from God. It will be well with you to live long on the earth. So if we follow mom and dad's instructions and you go to them for advice, right, they've lived life. They have wisdom that we don't have. They can speak to how to do things and respond to things, especially when it comes to relationships. So I think as students, right, there's really a lot more we could be doing to be intentional and purposeful to honor mom and dad. When it comes to relationships, I think there's a lot we can do. For example, guys, I think this is like a great opportunity for you to ask permission to date and to marry. And that can show honor and respect to the people you're interested in. Or all the guys sitting over here. I just kind of looked over here.
They're disqualified.
So my encouragement here is to follow the leadership of your parents in a relationship. So talk to them. Like, if you haven't talked to them about this, talk to them and say, hey, what are your like expectations of this? Ask them so you know how to interact in a relationship. And whether you should go on a date or go on a date alone or say that you love the other person or hold hands or kiss or hug or whatever, right? That can actually relieve the pressure off of you to figure that stuff out. If you trust, instead of guess, you can trust the authorities in your life, like mom and dad, to help you figure that out. And beyond mom and dad, too, you have disciplers and pastors and people in your life, too, that can help with that as well. So don't guess, but trust the Lord and the people he has in your life. And then after you've chatted with your family, you can chat with me, you can chat with your disciplers. Hopefully that can give you some help and guidance. So even already, like some of the stuff we're talking about, right, it's a lot different than how the world sees dating. So I guess just as we're kind of diving into this, I want you to tear down some of these notions of what dating is. Because we're trying to see it from a different perspective than the world is, from more of a biblical perspective. Instead, remember number three. It's not about yourself. It's not about yourself, but your Savior. Okay. The single guy, for example, who's not dating could say something like, well, I'm really looking for, and I've had these conversations, I'm really looking for this type of girl. She needs to be musical. She needs to be athletic. She needs to have a certain type of hair. She needs to look a certain way, et cetera, et cetera. A single girl could say, well, I can't marry a guy, you know, shorter than me. Or something, date a guy shorter than me. Our college pastor, who was short, told Courtney, give the short guys a chance. And she listened to that advice, right? Trust the authorities in your life. Okay, right. Or I want a smart guy, a guy who's going somewhere. Or maybe a single person might say, there is no way I'm dating right now. I'm focused on my school, my career. I've got plenty to worry about. There's no way I'm adding a guy or girl in my life right now. Or people who are in a relationship do this. They might say, why hasn't he called? Or why hasn't she texted me back? Or did you see him talk to her? I wish she would do more with me, or he would do more with me. Right, no matter how you slice it, right, in all of those conversations, we can make the, sorry, hold on, I lost my notes here. Yeah, right, in each of these conversations, like, the person can make dating, the other person, the relationship, all about themselves. And that's the danger, is that we can center it around ourselves, our wants, our desires. We get in the mindset of me. We get in the mindset of me. It's about my future. It's about my wants. It's about my needs. What we need about understand really with anything life, but especially about relationships, is that it's never about you. It's really not. It's not about you. And it's not necessarily about the other person either. It's first and foremost about Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whether then you eat, drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So how do we do that in a relationship? That means with our lives we believe and trust God. We worship him in every area of our life. That means we worship God with our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions even. We commit that to the Lord. Even our feelings for other people, we need to commit to the Lord. So remember, it's not about yourself, but it's about your Savior. What's up, Nora? Grab a seat. I think that's another important point, too, is that everything you should do in your relationship, try to be intentional and purposeful, right? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you dating? What's the goal in going to a movie? Well, what, like hanging out with a group of friends or being alone together in a car, right? Is it to honor and glorify Jesus in all things? Or is it to do things without anyone else knowing, right? Like, what's your goal? Right, a lot of times in dating and relationships, we can get focused on the wrong things. And that's why this fourth principle is really key. Number four, it's not about the process, but the person. It's not about the process, but the person. There's a lot of ways that people go about dating. In the world, like outside of like Christian circles, people live together. But then within Christian circles, there's also online dating, there's traditional dating, there's courting, and there are some cultures that still do betrothal, if you guys know what that is. But even like arranged marriages, some cultures still do that. Now, listen, in the Bible, there is no such thing as dating. It's not there. There's no such thing as dating. The Bible doesn't talk about it. The Bible doesn't talk about courtship. The Bible doesn't talk about the in-between of being single to getting married. The closest thing we do see is betrothal, but that's something that's more described and not something that's like commanded that we should be doing. The Bible does talk about singleness. The Bible does talk about marriage, but it does not talk about how to get from being single to getting married. It's definitely a gray area that the Lord has given us to apply wisdom and trying to navigate through that. So when it comes to gray areas in your life, like the process of dating, for example, we need wisdom. That's the key, wisdom. And the way we get wisdom and knowing how to make godly decisions about dating is by ultimately trusting and obeying God through his word. Now, I don't know if I wrote this verse down, but Proverbs chapter 2 talks about really how to get wisdom in the gray areas. And it really boils it down in three ways. Treasure God's word. Pursue godly counsel. And pray to the God of wisdom. So when it comes to dating, right? And it's like, well, how do I go about this? Treasure God's word in your heart. Pursue godly counsel. And pray to the God of wisdom. Right? That can help us navigate through those gray areas. Because God gives us, if you're living in God's will for his glory, he gives you freedom to kind of make these decisions. Proverbs chapter 24 says this, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it's established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So I think it's saying something that the Bible doesn't give a clear blueprint about dating. What God cares most about is not the process of how, but the person of who you are. It's not about the how of dating, but it's the who you are in dating. And that's really in general. What God cares most about is not what you do, but who you are in what you do. That's what God cares about the most. He cares about not as much as what you do, as much as who you are in what you do. So it's not about the outward appearances, but your inward attitude. So whatever you and your parents decide about dating, right, follow biblical principles and live out the person God wants you to be. Now, in the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about what it means to be a biblical man and a biblical woman. So we're going to be talking about that in weeks to come, but we won't dive too much into that tonight. Okay, so here's what I would say here, practically, right? Don't treat dating like a box of chocolates. And what I mean by that is, oh, I sample this one. And I sample that one, and ooh, I don't like that one. Right, let's not treat people that way, okay? Don't treat people like they're samples, right? Treat them like they're souls, okay? Not like a box of chocolates. So my encouragement is not to date as many people possible to see just what sticks, okay? Just real simply, though, just find someone who loves the Lord and loves his word. Like really what it boils down to. We'll get into like what to look for in a man and a woman in a few weeks. But really that's what's most important. If you're gonna truly find what the Bible says about a godly man and woman, then we need to be men and women of God's word, okay? So that's what you need to worry about first in your own life is am I a man and woman of God's word? Are you with me here? I know I'm giving you a lot here. I had like 6 weeks worth of material that I had to boil down in one night. So thanks for sticking with me on this. Okay, number five. It's not about passion, but purity. It's not about passion, but purity. Look in your Bibles at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Read the rest of that passage, I encourage you tonight. But God takes purity seriously. Here, Paul says that purity is God's will for you. Now, if you reject that in your life, the passage says you're not rejecting man, but you're rejecting, actually, God himself is what that passage says, if you reject holiness. So when you're in a relationship or longing for a relationship, what matters more? Having a physical relationship with someone or having a pure relationship with God? Like, what ultimately matters more to you? Here's my encouragement here. Remember, if you're in a relationship with someone, or even if you're in friendship with someone, treat them like another person's spouse. Treat them like another person's spouse. So guys, treat your friends who are girls or a girlfriend like she's another man's wife. So you wouldn't go around like kissing or doing whatever or talking in a certain way to another man's wife. I imagine not. And that's true for you ladies too, right? Are you treating the guy friends in your life or a boyfriend like another woman's husband? Like with that type of purity. So people have asked, like Courtney and I, for example, so how far can we go? You know, like in our dating, like physically, like how far can we go? Like kissing and hugging or whatever else. But I would say that is the wrong question to ask. That's the wrong question. Because if your desire is really to please God and for holiness, the right question should be, how holy can I be? Not how far can I go, but how holy can I be in my relationship and in my friendships? So that really changes our perspective on things like physical touch or saying I love you or going on dates alone or how you're talking and communicating, right, are all different things to consider. So it would be wise for you to work with your boyfriend or girlfriend and your parents and even a disciple or a pastor, maybe to set some ground rules for your life to help you with purity and holiness. And two, you never know who's watching. Like, you never know who's watching, right? You're a constant testimony of Christ. So if you saw someone watching, but most importantly, God who's watching, would you be unashamed of what you were doing and be like above reproach, or you feel like you're hiding something? That's a good indicator if you're maybe pursuing purity. Now, even while we're single and not dating, it's really important to develop purity in your life when you're not in a relationship. And I've said this to you before, but the patterns you make for yourself now will be patterns you make for a lifetime, okay? The patterns you make right now, like during your teenage years, are patterns you're gonna make for the rest of your life. So don't waste it, okay? Like, don't waste these years. They're the most important. So set the pattern for purity in your life now, in your heart. Now, you can make all the ground rules that you want and have as many accountability partners as you want or online safeties as you want, but it really starts with your heart and what you're feeding your heart. Because that's where ultimately our passions come from. It's our heart. And the more you're going to want to do something, the more intense you're going to want things to be, and it can turn into a slave. So it all starts with the heart. So I just want to give you quick some patterns for purity, and you can dive in these passages on your own time, okay? Letter A, die to self. Letter B, live in the Savior. Letter C, die to sin. And letter D, live in sanctity. That's S-A-N-C-T-I-T-Y, meaning holiness. You're welcome. So whether in your relationship or not, I encourage you to pursue these patterns of purity. And finally, number six, it's not about worrying, but waiting. It's not about worrying, but waiting. Are you all with me? I know I'm giving you a fire hose here. Okay, thanks for sticking with me. You guys are doing great. Okay, Paul tells us here in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32, he says, I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord and how he may please the Lord. So we need to be patient in the process of dating. Okay? As Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 7, singleness gives us an incredible opportunity to wholly focus on the Lord. And those who are married, and I would argue even dating, can be distracted, right? Distracted on how to please the other person. But those who are unmarried have the opportunity to be focused solely on pleasing the Lord. So if you aren't dating here tonight, but really desire it, first and foremost, just pray and bring that before the Lord, because He is our rock and our refuge, and He can help us in our time of need, okay? He will help us. He will listen to us. But at the same time, make the most of what God has given you today. So don't worry, but wait. And waiting is hard. But God has given you your relationship status, what it is today, for a reason. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, be free from concern and concern yourself first and foremost with the Lord. Now, if you are dating, remember to wait and be patient, because we like to rush through things and get ahead of ourselves and try to maybe enjoy some things in marriage, from marriage, and bring it into our dating relationship. And some people get married too fast without learning the other person. And sometimes those who are dating wait too long, and it can cause issues for being pure. And I don't think there's some magic number of how long you should date, because it's, I think, different for every couple. But I want to encourage you to be patient, okay? Be patient in getting to know the person, and be patient to be pure, okay? So patience starts with waiting on the Lord. And whatever stage you're in, just wait on the Lord and be patient on Him. Because when you do, that's where you're going to find true joy. That's where you're going to find true joy and satisfaction. So I guess just to conclude and wrap this up, don't waste your life here, okay, in these years. But draw closer to the closest friend that you're ever going to have. There's that friend, Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Not my friends, not my relationships. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Okay? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He's with me to the end. Let me pray for us, and then I'm just going to take a couple minutes if you guys just practically want to talk about stuff. And then we'll break off into your groups, okay? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for these students and just their patience and getting through just a lot of different things tonight. And I just pray you would encourage maybe the disheartened tonight, and that you would encourage them in knowing that you are the closest friend that we could possibly have, the only friend that can bring us true satisfaction and joy. And help us, Lord, to be patient and waiting. But at the same time, Lord, for those who are maybe looking into maybe something that's more than a friend or dating or whatever it may be, that we would really trust in you and see these different perspectives from Scripture and not just winging it and going and doing whatever we want to do, but really trying to be wise and bringing these principles together and having us live the way you want us to. So help us, Lord. We ask and we pray it's all to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, amen. Now, are there any things you guys want to like bring up together as a group that you think would be helpful as a group that you want to ask about? This might just be a guy-girl discussion, but I do want to give you opportunity. So, do you guys have questions? Leaders, any comment, question? Okay, go to your small groups, discipleship groups. Go. Yes, thank you. No, I haven't. Yes, come Sunday night for a snack.